He shook his head, trying to focus on the here and now.
"Absolutely certain," he repeated to Elise.
Very solemnly she replied,
"Absolutely."
Jordan pulled in a deep breath. "Then we've got to decide what to do about it." Brandon said,
"Right. And the first step is to convince Meek."
Factions. They were a subdued group as they rode the buggy back to the camp the following morning. Longyear drove, as usual, with Jordan sitting beside him. Thornberry and Defiah occupied the second row, Elise and Brandon the third.
"You should have let them pump their biology program into your brain, Paul,"
Thornberry said as they went along the trail.
"Maybe," Longyear replied guardedly.
From the rear, Brandon quipped,
"We're still waiting to see if you turn into an alien clown or something, Mitch."
"A leprechaun, more likely," Thornberry rejoined.
Defiah turned in a seat to face Elise.
"You're absolutely certain that what they're telling us is true?"
Looking as if she were tired of answering the same question over and again, she answered,
"Absolutely certain, yes."
"Data can be faked."
"I know," said Elise. "But they have such a massive amount of data. Visual imagery, radio telescope returns, gamma ray measurements. I looked for inconsistencies, for flaws. It all appears to be true."
"Appears,"
Defiah said. Elise stared at him for several silent moments, then said,
"I suppose at the heart of everything is the fact that I trust them. They're astronomers and astrophysicists, not politicians. They deal with observations and measurements, not rhetoric."
Jordan said over his shoulder, "Have you shown their data to Zadar?"
"Yes. Demetrios agrees. The data are conclusive."
Brandon said,
"The only question now is what are we going to do about it?"
Jordan replied, "We try to convince Harmon.
He's our test case. If we can't convince him, we won't have the ghost of a chance of convincing the movers and shakers back on Earth."
Without taking his eyes off the trail twisting through the trees, Longyear said,
"Well, you've just about got me convinced."
Surprised, Jordan asked, "You're not totally sure?"
"Audrey and his people wouldn't be the first to speak with forked tongues."
"Oh, for God's sake."
"Think about it," Longyear insisted. "We know they've got terrific technologies. I'm itching to learn about their biotech. But suppose they're using technological tricks to convince us about this gamma eruption."
That silenced the rest of them, until Jordan said, "If they are, and there's no gamma wave threatening Earth, then why did they invent such a story?"
"How should I know?" Longyear said.
"But on the other hand," Jordan went on, "if the gamma burst truly is real, we'd be consigning the entire human race to extinction if we did nothing."
"We'd be consigning the whole human race to falling for some alien scheme if we swallow their story," Longyear countered.
Thornberry piped up,
"By their fruits you shall know them."
"What?"
"From the Bible. You can determine what's good and what's bad by looking at the consequences of the way people behave."
"But we don't know the consequences," Defiah pointed out. "We won't know the consequences for another 2,000 years.
Jordan said, "I think I see what Mitch is driving at. If we fail to act, and the threat is real, the human race dies. If we do act, and the threat is a fake, then what?"
"Are we willing to take the chance?" Thornberry asked.
"Do we have the right to take that chance?" Jordan replied.
"Certain death versus some unknown motive of the aliens," said Defiah.
"Some choice," Brandon said.
"I don't think we have a choice," Jordan insisted.
"Try telling that to Meek," said Brandon. Resolution. As soon as they reached the camp, Brandon called a meeting of the entire group. Jordan watched with a mixture of amusement and anxiety as they filed into the dining area. He, his brother, Elise, and Thornberry sat on one side of the long table. Meek, Longyear, and Defiah chose the other, facing them. Jordan was surprised and a little disheartened when Yamaguchi came in, looked at the lineup, and chose Meek's side. Bereshkova sat beside Thornberry. Hazard, Zadar, and Trish Wanamaker were on the screen at the foot of the table. No telling which side they'd be on if they were here, Jordan thought. Once everyone was settled in their chairs, Brandon slowly got to his feet. Reluctantly, Jordan thought.
"Mitchell has taken the brain boost," he began, "and he seems no worse for it.
From the screen, Hazard quipped, "He's become a nuisance, pestering me to build an energy shield for the ship." Most of the people around the table chuckled.
"It's astounding, it is,"
Thornberry enthused. "I got a university education in physics, I did, inside of a few hours."
"And what else did they pump into your brain?" Meek asked, his long face scowling.
Thornberry shrugged his heavy shoulders.
"Nothing, far as I can tell."
"As far as you can tell."
Jordan started to reply to the astrobiologist, but hesitated, looking to his brother. "Brand's in charge, let him handle this." But Brandon turned to Elise and said, "Tell them about the gamma burst." Looking straight at Meek, Elise said in a measured tone,
"All the evidence I have seen convinces me that the danger is real. The core of the galaxy gave off an enormous burst of gamma energy some 28,000 years ago. The death wave will reach Earth's vicinity in 2,000 years.
And wipe out all life in its path," Brandon added. "Good for you, Bran," Jordan exulted silently. Meek looked unconvinced.
"How do we know that the evidence they showed isn't faked?"
"Why would they do that?" Jordan blurted.
"To get us to go along with them," Longyear replied.
"For what purpose?"
"How should we know?" Meek answered. "They're up to something, and they're certainly not going to tell us what it is until it suits them."
Brandon planted his fists on his hips and asked Meek,
"What do you think we ought to do?"
"Leave here immediately and go back home."
"And the gamma burst?"
"It's a trick. I'm sure it's a trick."
"And if it's not?" Jordan asked. Meek blinked at him several times, said nothing.
"If it's not a trick," Brandon said, his voice iron hard, "then we're consigning the human race to extinction."
Waving a long-fingered hand in the air, Meek said,
"We have 2,000 years to deal with that possibility."
"And other intelligent races, they'll be wiped out also," Brandon went on.
"I don't believe it," Meek fairly shouted. "I can't believe it."
Jordan asked his brother, "May I have the floor?" With a surprised grin, Brandon spread his arms and said grandly, "The floor is yours." Getting to his feet as Brandon sat down, Jordan began, "Harmon, Paul, we hold the fate of the human race in our hands, the 12 of us. What we decide can mean life or death for the entire human race. There's no one we can turn to, no higher-ups that we can buck the problem to. There's only we 12. It's up to us, entirely up to us." Meek shook his head stubbornly. Longyear stared at Jordan, his face a frozen mask. Jordan went on, "What this boils down to is a matter of faith. Some of us believe what the aliens have told us, some of us don't. Those who believe point to palpable evidence. Those who don't worry that the evidence may have been faked."
"My education isn't a fake," Thornberry muttered.
"But it could be a tactic," Meek immediately countered. "They boost your brain to convince us that the rest of what they're telling us is true."
"That's a possibility," Jordan admitted. "How do we decide whether it's true or not?" Silence fell across the table. Longyear opened his mouth, then thought better of it and said nothing.
"This is a fundamental problem of science, isn't it?" Jordan asked. "How do we know that what our human senses are telling us is real, or if we're fooling ourselves?"
"You test the information," Brandon answered. "All knowledge is testable. What you can't test is nothing more than belief, opinion."
"How do we test the information that Audrey's astronomers have given Elise?"
"I've gone over it as carefully as I can," Elise said, looking up at Jordan. "I'm convinced it's real."
"But you're not 100%, are you?" Meek challenged.
Before Jordan could say anything, Brandon replied,
"Harmon, nothing is 100% certain.
Newton gave us a scientific worldview that held up for damn near 300 years. Then Einstein came along and showed there was more to it, and string theory eventually enlarged on Einstein's work. Nothing is 100% certain. Not forever."
Meek started to reply, but Brandon overrode him.
"In your own field, Harmon, in astrobiology, it's happened. The field exploded in the late 20th century with the discovery of extremophiles, didn't it? When Tommy Gold proposed the deep, hot biosphere of bacteria living miles underground, the biologists laughed at him, didn't they?"
"But evidence proved he was right," Meek admitted.
"Eventually?"
"Nothing is 100% certain," Brandon repeated. "It can't be.